Unsolved Mysteries Rewind is a commercial-free podcast that focuses on cases featured on the television show Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack. Each episode features a single case and, if possible, updates and an expansion on the original story. Listener discretion is advised for listeners who are sensitive to true crime details.
Tonight on Unsolved Mysteries Rewind, two friends get together to discuss episodes of their favorite television show, Unsolved Mysteries. Will they find answers? Will anyone care? You may be able to solve a mystery.
Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. I have on today, returning to the show, Catherine. It's been a little bit of time that has passed, but you're back. I've tricked you back into doing another episode. Welcome back.
Thank you, Mark. I'm happy to be back.
Yeah. And I know that we've gone back and forth, and we're like, we got to do another episode, and we're finally here. And what do we do right before recording? We start going down rabbit holes.
I think you said we should start recording about 20 minutes ago.
And that's all right.
Here we are.
It's just the fun of it all. And I'm just so happy to have you back on the show.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah. So I had a list of about four or five cases that I wanted to do. And you said, let's do this one. And I was just wondering what stuck out to you and why you chose this one.
What stood out was mostly the fact that there's more than one victim. There's also something about this case that it ended on such a dark note when Unsolved Mysteries first aired it, where you have three people missing, you have some sketchy people involved, and it was just over. There was no outcome. But of course, years later, there would be an update. And we'll get to all of that. But that's mostly it. There's also a child involved. And I just think whenever there's a kid involved and adults involved, one person can vanish, right? I guess. But three people, come on. It's too much. These are some cruel people.
Anywho, we have missing in-laws and update. The victims are Wendy Camp, her sister-in-law, Lisa Renee Krieger, which according to our research, she went by Renee, and Wendy's daughter, Cynthia Brito.
Mm-hmm. Those are the victims. Yeah. So we got, and it goes by very often. If you were to just do a Google search for Wendy, Lisa, Cynthia, I mean, a number of things pop up.
Mm-hmm. And then we have several key players. Jonathan No is Wendy and Chad's son. Chad No, which is Wendy's ex-husband. Beverly No, Chad's mother. Ida Pruitt, which is Beverly's mother and Chad's grandmother.
She's a saint, that one.
And Grover Pruitt. He does not come in until the update. So we'll get to him. Leon Camp is Wendy's current husband and Lisa's brother. And then Jackie Taylor is Wendy's mother.
10 people are involved in this story. That is, I mean, it's got to be a type of record for Unsolved Mysteries.
Right. And I would like to note that Beverly No, Chad's mother, was not featured in the Unsolved Mysteries broadcast, but mm-hmm. she does play a huge part in this story.
Yeah, I mean, if there's a lot of things here that immediately stand out as questionable and disgusting. But the gist of the story, and I'll tell part of it and I'll throw it towards you, and we'll just get through the basic aspect of the story. Going back to Oklahoma City in Oklahoma, on May 29th, 1992, we have Wendy Camp. She is, I don't know how old this woman was. I see 22, Unsolved Mysteries says it was 24, and I just read a few minutes ago, she's 23. She's in her early 20s. I mean, that's all we can really say. She has a daughter, Cynthia, who's 6 years old, and Renee, who I believe was 24. Wendy's divorced. She has her daughter, Cynthia, from a previous relationship or marriage. I'm not sure if it was a marriage. And she starts working at an ice cream parlor, and she falls in love with a Casanova named Chad No. We get to meet in the Unsolved Mysteries segment Jackie Taylor, which is Wendy's mom, who seems kind of nice to me. I mean, you can't tell how people are, but there was something about her. I just thought that she was a fairly fair person. Saying that they hit it off pretty quickly, and they quickly became pregnant with their second child. And they got married. And that was that. They got married right before Jonathan was born. I don't know what year Jonathan was born.
I think they said 88 or 89, because if they met in the spring of 1987, and they also said they hit it off and Wendy became pregnant fairly soon. And I think I read somewhere that he was born in 89.
Mm. Now, I don't know much about multiple sclerosis, but Wendy developed a crippling case of MS 1 month after giving birth to Jonathan. I don't know enough about it, and just, I'm sorry I don't know enough about it, but I didn't know you could just kind of get it, or maybe she's always had it and it basically got worse because of the pregnancy. I'm just not sure. In the case, in the Unsolved Mysteries case, she's hospitalized for nearly a year. And Chad just kind of comes out of the woodwork. And this is probably where you first cringed, just like I cringed, where we have Chad No on the screen telling us that he's going to be filing divorce and he wants primary custody of Jonathan because he doesn't want to have to raise two children, you know, the child, Cynthia and Jonathan.
I think Chad's interview, and a lot of people have noted this online, he was cringy and hard to believe, because he said in his interview, "I didn't think she would be able to help me raise my child. And instead of having two children to deal with, I just decided that it was best if we got a divorce and I raised the child on my own."
Now, he
We'll get to more later, but you could tell he doesn't make eye contact with the camera. He looks away. He stutters.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just questionable.
He alludes to a bit of a drinking problem, too. I mean, it's mentioned much later, but he does kind of comment that a drunken stupor. So I'm going to guess drunken stupors are relatively common for Chad now. So I guess the bottom line is they got a divorce, and Wendy was seemed, you know, she was getting better. She got out of the hospital, but she still had these, effects from the illness, but she was going through, treatment and getting better and better and better. And Wendy met a new guy, which I just think is awesome. What did you think of Leon Camp?
I thought he was nice.
Right?
Nice, supportive. And I think he really loved Wendy.
Yeah, I mean, there was something. I mean, of course, we're comparing him to Chad, who just. And you know what? With all the faults of Chad, I'll say this: at least he was honest at that point about saying, "Look, I'm going to divorce you." At least he didn't kind of have the kids together and abuse them. I'm not saying it was a great decision, but I think it was probably the best choice for him to get out of Cynthia's life, especially in retrospect. Wendy was, I guess I'm leaving out that Wendy was too ill to kind of contest the divorce. I'm not sure why they wouldn't sign her over to her mother.
Can we backtrack for a second?
Sure.
When he said, instead of having two children to deal with, I thought he was referring to Wendy as a child.
The way does sound like this at first. And I watched this one guy on YouTube who, I don't know what this guy's problem is, but he went down this like 20-minute rant about it. And it's like, that's not what he meant. Like, you just went on a 20-minute rant, posted it on YouTube, and you're wrong. You know, I don't understand people.
You're saying Chad was referring to Cynthia and Jonathan.
Yes, as the two children.
That makes more sense.
It's not nice, you know?
Correct.
I'm not saying it's nice, but I don't think that he's referring to Wendy as the child to take care of.
Okay. Carry on.
At least I don't think. sorry, I'm just... Let's see. Well, fast forward. Leon Kemp, they got married. We see the photo. They had a very simple wedding. But she seemed to... In each photo that they show of Wendy, she does seem like she's looking better and better and better, which is just great, right? They are starting to see Jonathan more, and Jonathan was allowed to visit the camp household, I guess, Leon and Wendy's house. And then out of nowhere, Chad brings up in the interview, and this is a quote, up until the time that my grandma or my mother informed me that he was being sexually molested, referring to he wasn't allowed to return because his grandmother or mother informed him that Jonathan was being sexually molested. Now, if somebody's going to tell me something about this about my kid, I'm going to remember who told me.
Right.
It just seems like complete nonsense to me. But I think it was also an excuse for him to just not allow Jonathan to see what maybe a nice couple are like in comparison to Jonathan's father.
So they also pointed out, too, that either Beverly or Ida or both were at the visitation all the time, every time.
Mm.
So how would the molestation happen if they were supervised visits?
And it also doesn't sound to me that that there's any evidence. There's really no evidence, and the court saw that. And the court was basically saying it has to go away. You know, like, we can't constantly do this, but Chad was still standing in the way of all of this.
Right.
I'm not really sure how we can legally do that, by the way.
And Leon Kemp said there was no molestation, not whatsoever. And the idea of them thinking it just tore me up inside. I was mad.
Yeah, I was mad too, because it seems like Leon, again, I think we're on Team Leon. We kind of like the guy, at least more than Chad. But Chad makes a phone call one day saying, look, Wendy, you can see Jonathan, you can come. It's a 115-mile trip. You can't drive. Obviously, I'm going to guess that they said Leon can't come.
Right.
So
I think what was happening is Leon and Wendy were fighting to obtain custody or at least visit, and the no's were fighting it. And the no's realized that they don't have grounds to deny them visitation.
Hmm.
So they took it upon themselves to deny them visitation rights. And that's when the phone call came in.
Yeah. And she was all happy, of course. You know, she's going to get to see... because Jonathan is her child. You know, It's just crazy that somebody, we probably, I don't know if you hear about these type of things, but I hear about these things all the time, where parents really put the kid in the middle, and it becomes this whole ridiculous drama. They take the 115-mile drive from Chad's home, to Chad's home in Shamrock, Oklahoma. It takes about 2 hours.
Weird to me that Chad called Wendy and said, you can see Jonathan today, and Chad made the phone call. But then Chad had nothing to do with the visit.
But he said, didn't he say that she didn't spend time with Jonathan, that they drank coffee and talked?
Maybe.
Yeah, because he even made a little bit of a jab, because he's like, when they were here, we just sat and drank coffee and talked. And I was just, I mean, why isn't she playing with Jonathan?
Maybe Wendy was trying to convince Chad to give her more visits.
Yeah, I get this vibe that Wendy's a pretty sweet woman, And I don't know. The whole thing is so strange. It's also a very crowded visit. There's a lot of people involved here. She takes Cynthia and her sister-in-law along with her, by the way.
Well, that was Leon's doing, because they wouldn't let Leon come.
We assume that. Them, yeah.
And he didn't want Wendy to go alone, so he convinced his sister, Lisa Renee, but I think she went by Renee, to go with him. And I think Cynthia went because she wanted to see her brother. Because at the end of the day, Jonathan and Cynthia were brother and sister.
So Leon said, let's see. It was about 1 o'clock where Leon got a call, said that they made it there all right. And I believe it's said by Chad that she didn't even really play with Jonathan. Her and Jonathan and Cynthia played for a while, but she mostly sat there and drank coffee with me out on the porch and talked.
Okay.
Which, you know, that sounds nice. You know, you gotta come to some adult decision here. So when he's talking about this, all right, we'll get to the theories in a bit. Let's see. Wendy calls. There's so many freaking people involved in this. I'm sorry. Wendy calls Leon to say we're leaving. It's about 4:15, saying that they're in a rush. They got to go. It's about 2 hours. They'll be home. So home. They're supposed to be home like a little after 6.
So I see it right here. Phone company records verify that Wendy called Leon at 4:42. But virtually everything else about the afternoon has become tainted by suspicion.
Quoted by, yeah, from the show.
The last people known to have seen Wendy and her companions alive were Beverly Noe and Ida Pruitt, Chad's mother and grandmother.
Mm-hmm. This is where they start seeing how unpleasant Wendy is. And this would become something that made it to newspapers after this event happened. How she was unpleasant and nasty. Yikes. They're in the car. Ida says, look, you have to sit here for this entire ride, but I don't. Take me home. I want out. Which I don't believe happened. I believe Ida was in there the whole time.
What was the plan? Beverly was supposed to meet Chad at a restaurant that night. What was that about?
They were supposed to meet at a restaurant at 7 o'clock, which would not have been physically possible. So we get another Jackie involved, Jackie Johnson, who is, she's Agent Jackie Johnson from the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. And she's talking about essentially the search that happened, which we'll get to in a moment. But Beverly was supposed to go a distance that she would not have been able to actually be at the restaurant at 7 o'clock. It just wouldn't have been possible. It would have taken 4 hours to do this. But somehow she was able to be at the restaurant in 3 hours. So it's just not possible. Although, now that I'm thinking about it, she didn't go the entire distance. So wouldn't it have been possible? I keep thinking it's the entire distance. Remember, she dropped her off allegedly 65 miles away from her house at a Walmart. We didn't get to that. So Wendy's complaining the whole time, allegedly. So Beverly gets so frustrated that she says, get out of my car. I'm not listening to what you have to say. And throws the 6-year-old, the MS, the person with MS, and
Renee.
Yeah, the sister out in the middle of nowhere, in front of a Walmart.
Mm-hmm.
And just leaves them, because that's a normal thing to do, right? And Beverly, I guess, heads home. Now, at that point, she only went 60 miles away, so she would be able to make that 7 o'clock appointment at a restaurant, in that case. But to make the appointment for 7 o'clock is questionable.
When, at the time, she was to drive the 115 miles.
Right, if she had to do that, it would be 2 hours there, 2 hours back.
So, now this is before my time, but I would imagine payphones are readily available.
Payphones are everywhere, in there, you know, especially if you're dropped in front of a Walmart.
So, given that Beverly's story is plausible, Wendy could have found a payphone and called Leon and said, hey, she kicked me out. Can you pick me up at this Walmart?
Right. But that doesn't happen. Nobody sees them. They just vanish. They don't call anyone. They call for no help, which just doesn't, even if you didn't have a penny on you, you can pick up a payphone and dial 911. At least back then, you know.
And I think,
or call collect.
Call collect, or you could have stopped somebody and said, hey, can I borrow a quarter to call my husband?
I think it was a dime back then.
Oh, wow.
You're like, whoa, your head explodes. it could have been a dime back then. But no, exactly. You could scrounge up some money, or you can go to Walmart and say, can I use your phone? I'm in an emergency situation. Clearly, I am disabled. Can you help me? Or call the police. The police will come and help you.
Right.
So I don't buy Leon, it.
At about 8 o'clock that night, Leon starts to get worried.
At what time did you say?
8 o'clock.
Yes.
I started thinking, well, they should have been home by now. I should probably call the police.
Do you think he called Chad?
That's an excellent question.
I kept expecting it because when I rewatched it, I'm like, maybe he did. Maybe there was no answer. Because even if you hate each other, right? You got to find out if this person,
right.
You know.
And if he did, I wonder how that conversation went.
Or if he's like, I'm not calling that, you know, I'm not calling that asshole. Let's say I'm harassing him.
Leon called the police after Wendy should have been home, and they came out and took a brief description.
Yeah.
And that's when Jackie Johnson of the State Bureau came in. They did an aerial search.
Like 4 or 5 planes.
Which is, you know, I listened to another podcast a few days ago where somebody went missing and immediately police came out, they did a search, and they took a note that said, usually in missing persons cases, you hear the cops say, oh, you have to wait 24 to 48 hours before filing a report.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard that over and over and over again, listening to podcasts and researching.
Law and Order, yeah.
But
you know what? I think this might be the exception. Because Wendy, they do mention in the segment, Wendy needs medication. And there's a child involved.
Correct.
And there's 3. So maybe that's like kind of triggers something. It's like, look, this is definitely something's up. Because I watch like 48. I'm sure you've seen these. The first 48. We're like obsessed with these things. They're all from the 90s. And it's kind of, I mean, of course, the 48 hours only starts when they find a dead body or something like that. But it's still, like, they jump right to it. But I do imagine that if you have 3 people, one needs medication, one's a child, they're like, we got to get out there and do this now.
Yeah, that does make sense.
Maybe. So we're assuming.
Their disappearance became the talk of the town for several days. There were no leads in the case, and Beverly's version of events were scrutinized.
And the, Go ahead.
The officer said the time Beverly from the time Beverly left Shamrock would have been between 4:30 and 5. She agreed to meet her son at 7. And that couldn't have been done.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way she could have gone from Shamrock to Oklahoma City and back in that amount of time.
But you could have killed the people, dumped the bodies. We don't even know if she dumped the bodies. We'll get to this. But we don't even have a timeline for what really happened.
Right.
All we know is that this segment ends with them basically all blaming different people for whatever reason. Chad is convinced that there's no way it could have been his mother or grandmother. And what did Chad say in what I referred to before as a drunken stupor? I have a quote here. I don't know if you see it. I can highlight it. Just...
Yeah, maybe in one of my drunken stupors, I might have popped off. Yeah, I did it. But there ain't no way ever I could have done something like that. I'm not a violent person.
No, all right, there's so much to deconstruct here, right? One, who's talking about violence?
Yeah, nobody was talking about violence. And Jackie Taylor, Wendy's mother, said how dependent Wendy was upon Leon. She had already called. She called when they got there. She called when they were leaving.
Mm-hmm. I feel so bad for Leon. I mean, I feel bad for the victims, of course. But I feel bad for this guy who just saw them go. When he talks about, and that was the last time I saw them, and that was the last time I spoke to them, it breaks my heart.
And
it really does.
He was so good to Wendy, and Wendy loved him. And like Jackie said, Wendy had called him throughout the day.
Yeah.
So there's no way she would have just left him.
And that's how the segment ends. Basically, nothing. And, of course, Unsolved Mysteries has an update. 21 years after they disappeared, the bodies of Wendy Camp, Cynthia Brito. I'm sorry, go on. Am I jumping ahead?
There's one more note.
All right.
There was no, before the update, there was no physical evidence. And 3 months after they disappeared, a woman who knows the family claimed to have seen Cynthia alive, and police believe the account is credible, but there were no further sightings.
Yeah. And then dun, 21 years. Update. 21 years after they disappeared, the bodies of Wendy Camp, Cynthia Brito, and Lisa Renee Krager were found in a septic tank on the property of Beverly Noe's brother, Grover Prewitt. Now, Max Cook, who is the prosecutor, said the age of the case and the issues with witness availability were factors in the decision when this was all brought up. Because I think a lot of people cringed, and I know I did, when the next update popped up, which was Beverly Noe was arrested for the murders and sentenced to 30 years in prison, starting to sound okay, right? With 15 years suspended as part of a plea bargain. So she gave up the bodies. But as I said before, Max Kirk said because of the age of the case and the issues with witness availability, there were factors in offering the plea deal. And he says that was the best resolution for the victims' families. Yikes. Yep.
The next update, Grover Prewitt was charged with accessory. However, a judge dismissed the case.
Is this guy a creep to you, the way he looks? Like, does he give you every... Like, does he just make you have heartburn, like, when you look at this guy?
I'm not sure. I don't think anybody can take a very good mugshot.
It's true.
I don't want to judge him purely based on his mugshot.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
Beverly's mother, Ida Prewitt, was also a suspect, but she died in 2011.
She must have said 30 times that Wendy was just unpleasant and nasty. And
so I did find a picture of their grave, and it did
it's shocking.
Make me nauseous quite a bit. It's graphic and
I just want to say, you found this, but I saw it on a newscast. And on the newscast, it's a much more blurry version of it. But you found this.
They tried to blur it out.
You know, I think they just didn't have a good copy. It's almost like they shot it off of a screen or something.
But it's interesting because they are clearly wearing the exact same clothes as the Unsolved Mysteries segment. In the reenactment, Wendy is wearing like a champion jumpsuit, basically a red crew neck and a red sweatpants with tennies.
Yeah.
And that's what they were found in.
Yeah, it's a shocking, shocking photo. And it's terrible. We learn that the two adults were shot to death, I believe. Is that what you found?
Wendy was shot and stabbed. Renee was shot. And then Cynthia died of unspecified means.
Yeah, which I have to just wonder. I mean, I don't want to think about it too much because it's so horrible. But you have to wonder what the order of the killing was.
Yeah.
But there's no way for this to have a good... None of it makes it easier. So just such hateful people to be able to do something like this. You found a really interesting article. And I'm just going to, if you don't mind, I'm going to read a few of these things. The last person known to have seen these three people whose bodies were found in the makeshift grave in Oklahoma last month, said Friday, one of the three was hateful and snotty to her the last time they were together, but insisted she had nothing to do with their disappearance 21 years ago. Talk about holding a grudge, right?
Right. And then another thing you highlighted from that article is the person they're referring to is Beverly Noe, Chad's mother. And she said, I figure somebody picked him up, but I have no clue who. I don't know how they got back to his property. I would wonder how they got there. I really don't know how they got there. It's odd. I'd agree to that.
Yeah, I don't know how they got back to my brother's property. It's insane. Right. Beverly Noe, who has not been charged with the crime at the point of the writing, has told investigators repeatedly since 1992 that she picked up the three in Oklahoma City so Camp could visit her son, that she had with no son, Chad. She said she had agreed to return the three to their home that evening, but stopped in Chandler after a fight over how Camp's son Jonathan was being treated. I said, this is it. Get out. No told the AP. She said Camp was being hateful and snotty, but that she now regrets not taking them the rest of the way home. What a wonderful woman. No also said, there ain't no way he should have dragged me in. I think it's to save his skin. Referring
to
Grover Pruitt, who basically, we don't know exactly Pruitt's involvement here. At least I didn't learn very much about it. But he had to have known something.
So what I found is that Grover had several acres of land, and Ida Pruitt, which is Grover's mother, bought a couple acres off of Grover, purchased a trailer, and was going to move on to the land she purchased from Grover, and asked him to dig a hole for a septic tank. And there is this huge hole. Ida was going to live on the property. There was going to be a septic tank. And then all of the sudden, Ida said, Grover, can you fill this hole? And he said, why? Don't you need a septic tank? She said, no, I don't need it anymore. There's a dead body in there. And Grover said, okay, whatever.
I didn't know
filled the hole.
Jeez. So she never moved there. She just owned the property that we know of.
What'd you say?
She never moved there. She never used the property. She just kept it.
Right. And the entire property was eventually sold. So at the time of, in 2013, when they found the bodies, it was not owned by the Pruitt family.
That's
but
crazy.
According to a court affidavit, Grover never looked in the hole after the girls went missing because he was scared of what he could see. Grover said he thought Ida and Beverly killed the females. So in 1990, he was just scared. And he probably couldn't bring himself to implicate his sister or his mother. And just did what his mother said.
And I think my family is crazy. You know, it's wow.
I
can
mean,
you imagine?
Just based on the Unsolved Mysteries broadcast, I would be afraid of Ida. She kind of seems like a mean old lady to me.
Yeah. I mean, I think that Ida was just as guilty as Beverly.
Yeah.
But what happened to Ida? Ida, was she arrested? Is she in jail?
She died of esophageal cancer in 2011 before the bodies were found and before charges were filed.
So she died
but
getting away with it.
I did find a mugshot of Ida, and apparently she served time for arson and insurance fraud in 2006 and 2007.
With Beverly?
With Beverly, yes.
I love the quote. No one, her mother served a short prison term for arson and insurance fraud in 2006-07. Court records show. No said she could have fought the allegations, but I, quote, I went for my stupid mother. I went to jail for my stupid mother.
So what do you think that means? Could she have gotten off, but
no.
She went to?
Not at all.
Okay.
When people say, I could have fought it and gotten off, it's like, so you chose jail instead of fighting it? I don't buy that.
Right. So it kind of sounds like Beverly thought she was doing her mom a favor by going to jail with her, or she just didn't want to throw her mom under the bus.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it sounds like to me.
Looking into the DA, Max Cook, I did come across an interesting little article. This is a weird comment that he's associated with, where it. I need to learn more about exactly what this is. But a lot of people, he pissed off a lot of people with the comment about a sexual abuse case where he says conscious enough to give consent. And I don't think that somebody, you know, it's one of those kind of crazy things to say and to be connected to. But if you just look up DA, I'll put a link to it in the show notes, DA Max Cook, you'll see quite a few things talking about it, including one kind of poorly written article. But I'd like to see a much more well thought out piece that explains it a little bit more clear.
And there's also a Facebook page created by Wendy Camp's sister that we'll put in the show notes as well. But she doesn't have very nice things to say about Max Cook as well.
Yeah.
According to a Facebook post, she said, "This is the crook who let Beverly out of jail. I called to hold him accountable and ask him how he could lie to my face that those with any type of murder charges were not eligible for earning good time or credits, and he started shouting at me. Unprofessional."
Mm.
So according to Wendy's sister, Beverly's out of jail already. She went to jail in 2013. It's now 2022. And she's out.
Now, one of the things that you brought up the other day in our notes was how this case is kind of old, right? I mean, the Unsolved Mysteries, I couldn't get a solid date on when this happened. But I'm thinking it was around 1994. So I think they refer to it as happening just a couple years ago. And, you know, this happened in 92. So let's guess like 94, 95. So we're talking 30 years, nearly. You know, 30 years of, I don't know if it was completely a cold case, but a case that was done. The bodies are buried. Nobody was finding this thing. And it was solved. And I thought, if you could talk a little bit about that, because I thought the way you put it was really interesting, because sometimes we forget that these cases can be solved.
Right. So a little bit of a rabbit hole. In early to mid 2000s, they aired Unsolved Mysteries on Lifetime. And the show ended in, 2002, I think?
Yeah, around that, yeah.
So they still had newer episodes, and they aired old episodes. But I remember over the summer, I went to swim practice, and I came home, and I watched The Golden Girls, The Nanny, and Unsolved Mysteries on Lifetime.
I love Fran Drescher.
And there are certain cases that kind of stuck out to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just wait. They would end the segment, and I would just wait and cross my fingers for an update. And I kind of feel like updates are few and far between at
sure.
that time.
Mm-hmm.
But then in about 2017, Unsolved Mysteries came back and aired on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
And updates are so much more common watching it on Amazon.
They are common, but there's even more out there. There's so, or connections to other cases.
Right. And I remember this case from my childhood. It's mm-hmm. it's a case that stuck out to me, and it's a case that I remember. So what I said was, this is a case that was solved in my adult life.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Night Stalker, Laura Bible, and Ashley Freeman, there are still cases from Unsolved Mysteries that are being solved today. And I was wondering, Mark, if there's a case that you would like to see solved, or what case would you most like to see solved?
I would really have to think about this. I know I said I'm going to think about it, but I really would have to think about this and answer it on our next episode.
Okay.
Because there's really no standout. There are several that, it's just, yeah, I would just really want to give it some real thought. And I'll talk about it in the next episode.
Okay.
But was this one of them for you when you were a child and you're watching this? Was this really one of the ones that you're like, oh, I wish this one can get solved?
Yeah, and I really wish they had not been killed.
Sure.
But I'm really glad they at least held the proper people accountable. It's interesting because Jonathan, Chad and Wendy's son, supported his grandmother his whole life. And he's quoted as saying, my grandmother didn't do it. There's no way.
Mm-hmm.
And before the murders, Beverly had been fighting for custody of Jonathan. And supposedly Chad had multiple children with other girls, and some even underage girls.
Mm-hmm.
And Beverly just supported all of his children and raised all of his children. But I don't know how true that is. But I wouldn't put it past Chad.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting that Jonathan still supports his grandmother.
I'm sending you a link. If you could just click it and tell me if this is him. I can't really tell by the way he looks.
Okay. I can't tell either.
I forgot I came across this guy. Yeah, it is him. It's definitely him. In one of the pictures, there's no doubt about it. I'm going to send you. So, yeah, he's on Facebook, Jedno.
That is, yeah.
Yeah, like this, I'm sending you a picture for your nightmares. And I don't know. Do you think Chad was involved?
That's
the big question, I think.
I wonder as well.
Because he seems like a dope. I'll just be honest. This is what I think was the
only
setup.
Thing that makes me think Chad was involved is that he called Wendy and said, "Hey, my mom's going to pick you up. Want to come see Jonathan today?"
Right. And do you think this was even premeditated? Do you think that this was the plan? Or do you think it was like the crystal meth kicked in and they're like, "I'm going to kill her"?
I don't know. It's...
To kill three people, to kill one person is insane. But three and a child? One adult who's disabled? There's like something there that's genuinely malicious.
I agree.
And it's just one of those unexcusable things. And for the fact that she got 15 years for three murders, I just can't fathom it. I mean, granted that she gave up the bodies. Okay. But to cut it in half? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad it was solved and
yeah.
Wendy's family and Renee's family were given some closure. And like I said, it's very interesting that it was solved in my adult life. The case is 30 years old and it was very recently solved.
Right. Well, the thing that's good about this is you can find the episode online. It's available thanks to the Unsolved Mysteries owners. It's on YouTube. And I'm just going to give you the exact... Whoops.
That day was about-
whoops. It is Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack, of course. And it's... It's hard to just get the thing. Season 6, Episode 5. You mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again. The segment is called Missing In-Laws, an update. And you can watch it and you can see it. I believe that Dennis Farina, also covered the same exact case, and it's actually more clear on his version. I watched a few of the Dennis Farina things. And
why do you say that? Why do you say it's more clear?
Because it's a newer copy.
Okay.
Yeah. I also would like to also continue talking about the missing segments. I think that those are fascinating. While they're more difficult to find because they're missing, right?
Right.
But we were lucky enough to find some.
And as always, if you guys have a request, a case, even if it's not Unsolved Mysteries, shoot us a Facebook comment. Where else are we, Mark? Facebook.
Go to Facebook. You can find us, Unsolved Mysteries Rewind. And that's about it. I mean, just type in Unsolved Mysteries Rewind, and you will find us. And Catherine will be in there hanging out. I'll be in there hanging out. Any questions, can reach out to us directly. We're pretty accessible.
Tonight, we have been confronted with an entire catalog of unexplained and unsolved events. Tune in next time. Unsolved Mysteries Rewind discusses another collection of unsolved mysteries. Until then, we can only look and wonder.